Well, I certainly don't feel like the perfect vessel to have a very memorable service tonight, but ask the Lord to help us. Just a little thought tonight. I'll read a set of scriptures and maybe expound on a little bit and have a few other scriptures to read along with it. And ironically enough, it relates some to what has already been mentioned in the service this evening. And Brother Ed actually, well, I guess Sister Rennell had asked a question, oh, it's been a few services back, about doing good to those, especially those of the household of faith, but that relates some to it. But Brother Ed mentioned the story earlier about the congregation reaching out and giving some monetary means to someone that was in need, someone that was homeless. And I marvel at, you know, it's not just the churches that do that. There's common folks, people not saved, people not associated with church, religion, God. They don't profess anything. And I've known of folks over the years that they were kind enough and felt inspired to give of their means or to help someone in need. And some of that is, I have to imagine that you look at the roots of our nation. And how do you think that our nation has become so prosperous? And in a lot of ways, of course, the world, some of them kind of scowl at us as the United States of America. Some welcome us with open arms, but the U.S. has been known as Big Brother in a lot of ways. In some ways, maybe we're not so proud of, but in a lot of ways, the U.S. has come in and helped little countries that were fixing to collapse and be destroyed, and the U.S. had come to their aid, or maybe the U.S. would forgive the debts of other countries and send over goods and money and troops to help support them, whatever that is, but not every nation has been like that. And I have to think that perhaps some of that was the fact that our nation was founded on some godly principles. And some of our forefathers, they tried to implement some of the teachings of the Bible, the equality of man. Not every nation has had that mindset. But so I'm thankful for that. And but here's the if you want to call the tricky part of it, there's some folks that go about doing good, and it's very honorable and very noble to do those such things, but they look at it as that is their means of salvation almost. They almost trust in their own goodness, the things that they do for others, as that's who they are. And they think that that's great and wonderful, and some believe that they're good enough as so-and-so that goes to church and professes, well, I'm just as good as them. But I'm reminded of this song, and there's scriptures to back this up. We won't deter on that. But there's a song that says, good old boys won't make it into heaven. And, you know, I've thought about that often. And again, I believe part of it may be the nation that we're blessed to live in, that there's so many that have been blessed monetarily that they are able to give. They are able to reach out and do good to others. And we've had a godly heritage in a lot of ways, our nation has. But there's more to life than that. When you start analyzing the scriptures, God doesn't want just good old boys. And that's not going to cut it. And to prove the point, there's some scriptures in Galatians, the 5th chapter, perhaps some of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, and it's the fruits of the Spirit. And to me, you can't just pick one of these fruits out and say, I'm going to focus on this, I'm a godly person because I do this one thing. To me, it's as if Apostle Paul is lumping all these together and saying, yes, you may do more of one and less of the other, but a mature Christian will have all of these fruits of the Spirit in their lives. And in Galatians, the fifth chapter, we'll start with, we won't read the fruits of the flesh, the works of the flesh. We'll start with verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And we'll stop there for now. And there's many fruits of the Spirit there, but I want to focus on one, perhaps one that can be overlooked or neglected. Not that it's any more important or less important than the others, I should say, but and that is the fruit of goodness. And that's something, I'll be honest with you, in my lifetime, perhaps more messages or studies have focused on love and joy and peace and long-suffering or faith and temperance and such things. But the fruit of the Spirit of goodness is mentioned for a reason. And you could look at it this way. If you look at the definition, I've looked up a few, some of the commentaries and dictionaries that would define goodness. It's a very generic term. There's a lot of definitions, but we'll try to read something that maybe gives a clearer, more concise definition. It's the perpetual desire and sincere study, not only to abstain from every appearance of evil, but to do good to the bodies and souls of men to the utmost of our ability. But all this must spring from a good heart, a heart purified by the Spirit of God, and then the tree being made good, the fruit may be good also. And you could summarize it perhaps in one word. You could say kindness or giving. And you could also say that goodness would be perhaps putting in action a few other of these fruits of the Spirit, like putting in action love, or putting in action long-suffering, or putting in action gentleness and meekness. And so you could say that it's putting legs on some of these other fruits of the Spirit is what goodness is. But as I mentioned earlier, just a little bit ago, the definition being it comes from a pure heart, a good heart, a heart that's already been cleansed. Because again, if there's something inward that's not clean, something that's filthy, it's eventually going to come out. The scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaketh. And so you can say that somebody, and I've seen this. In fact, I just heard a story the other day that really troubled me. And it was about a preacher. And this individual I was speaking with is a Christian himself. And has worked at this company for several years. And has not, you know, tooted his horn, so to speak, but just a steady Christian, living a good life, a good example, and the guys have been watching him, and a lot of sinfulness around him there on the job. But there's this one individual, he's kind of in middle management, and he's a preacher. And this individual observing this, this good Christian observing this, is so many times will walk in a room, where in a break room or an office or just be standing there, and this gentleman come up, and again, he's a professed, you know, preacher, and but starts using the most filthy language and telling the dirty jokes and all those things. And of course, all the sinful guys, they're just enjoying this. But it's as if he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. And it's emitting a confused message to the sinners around there. But over time, these sinners have noticed that there's a difference from this man over here that's professing to be a Christian, but is just living the steady life versus the other. And so again, the point is, this preacher may go out and on Sunday preach a good message, and he may shake somebody's hand or give somebody a hug and say kind words and do all these great and wonderful things, pretending like he's a good old boy. But within, it's the works of the flesh. He's not been cleansed. These other fruits of the Spirit aren't there. Well, God would have it that we would have all of these. And as I said earlier, it's something that we all are at different levels in our salvation, so to speak. Some have lived for the Lord for maybe a year or two, others 20 years, others 40 years. And so we're all at different levels, but it's as if this fruit of the Spirit, goodness, again, I want to say sometimes it can be overlooked just because there's so many others in the world that's professing to have the same thing. Because you don't hear folks in the world that have great faith, so to speak, or have great long suffering, or have great peace, but everyone wants to claim something that's easy to do, easy to fake, and that is goodness. I can do this and do that and do this, and because it's easy to be faked, and so it's kind of, well, and then so many others, like I mentioned, that this preacher that kind of spoiling the name of God and Christianity and religion for all these other sinners, he's in a sense blaspheming God. I mean, he's being a hypocrite. And that troubles me, but yet I have to think, you know, there's still hope for him as well. Because God alone, he is long-suffering, he is patient, he's full of love, and he's not willing that this man would even perish. But he loves all, and so here's where, if you could say, the rubber meets the road. This is where the challenge to all of us, and just like this morning, we had this individual come, desiring some help. You know, the first instinct sometime is to think, well, they just need to go get a job. Well, he hasn't been able to get a job. He has a physical condition. But here is how, if you could say it this way, reaching someone and putting in action love, long-suffering, gentleness, putting that in action is goodness, and that is giving them something, say, God bless you, here you go, and go on your way. And forget about it, basically. Leave that with them and the Lord. Say, we don't know what they're going to do with it, but the Lord knows. The Lord understands, and he can bless and help them. That's exercising the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. Again, it's putting legs on love. Oh, be warmed and filled and go on your way, and you don't know. Give them something, or give them a hug, or shake their hand, or at least, you know, introduce yourself, or takes, in other words, sacrifice a little bit of your time or a little bit of your means and go out of your way. And it boils down to a Christian duty. And this leads into another scripture, Hebrews 13 and 16. We'll go a step further here. Y'all pray for us. Hebrews 13 and 16. It says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Again, it's another something that God is calling for and requesting as a duty. But it says, but to do good and to communicate not. Well, what does that mean? Well, communicate in this situation is basically meaning in fellowship you share. Okay, so it's saying do good and to communicate, to fellowship and to share with one another, forget not. And it says, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In other words, there's going to be times that's going to be a sacrifice for you to do, for you and I to do. It's not going to come easy. Our flesh is recoiling. Well, I don't want to shake that person's hand, or I really don't want to get involved. I really don't want to know what their needs are because God might require me to do something. And God's saying, no. You know, what did Jesus do? He went the extra mile. So what can we do? If we're Christians, that means Christ-like, then Lord, help us to go the extra mile. And there's another scripture in 1 Timothy 6 and 17 that takes us a step further. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. There's that word again, communicate, to fellowship and to share. But it says, charge them that are rich in this world. Now I want to stop here and let us all bring us back to reality again. And I've heard it said, and someone helped me with the exact statistic here. But I've heard it said a couple of different ways that if we have, say, $10 in our wallet right now, that we're wealthier than the vast majority of the population on the face of this earth. And it was over 75%. I don't remember the exact figure. But the point is, yes, we may not be a millionaire. And no, we may not all have everything perfect financially. We may not have, you know, $100,000 in the bank, and so on and so forth. But yet, we are rich. And I'm not just talking monetarily. I want to get down to what's really important. We're rich with the blessings of God, understanding and knowing the truth. You know, that's what drives these missionaries to go preach the gospel, to go work in the mission fields, as they feel so blessed. They want to give, they want to share with the rest of the world. You know what that is? That's goodness. That's proving your love, your faith, your gentleness, all those other fruits of the Spirit. That's putting legs on them and saying, I'm willing to go and to do good, all right? And to communicate and to distribute, be willing to be ready to distribute and willing to communicate. That's fellowship and share what God has blessed us with. Well, there's another set of scriptures in Luke, the sixth chapter. And this is incorporates one of the golden rule. And again, this is the golden rule. Well, we'll just say sometimes it's not so easy to exercise. And by that, how many of us have had perhaps folks in our lives that maybe rub us the wrong way? And have maybe been a, not necessarily an enemy, but just a thorn in our side for years. And when the opportunity comes for us to do good to them, we kind of just ignore it. Have anyone been tempted to do that? I know I have. In the flesh, it's like, they really don't deserve this. But yet, what's the commandments and what's the fruits of the Spirit? Oh, yes, I have love. But is it going to be a tingling cymbal? I mean, is it going to be shallow? Is it going to be empty and vain where you don't have anything to back it up? Well, it says here in Luke, the sixth chapter, verses 27, there's several verses here. But emphasize, note that several times it says, do good. It says this four or five times in this set of scriptures. Luke 6 and 27 says, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That takes a lot of wind out of your sails right there. Just when you think you have your opportunity, just kind of ignore this person that's been a thorn in your side, or this situation, whatever's involved with, and just kind of, when God has given you something, God has blessed you with whatever it is, and you have an opportunity to extend to them some help, some assistance, some goodness, and you feel like God's telling you, but you're like, no, they really don't deserve it. What did this say? Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. You know, that's the golden rule. And that's so easily, that's something that if this world would only practice this one rule right here, just this one, how much better place would it be? But it's so easy to ignore. It's so easy to, well, that's just, whatever. I want to do what I want, you know, and focus on me, myself, and I. That's what the world does. But as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. And I want to tell a little story here. It's something that, it's a little piddly thing, but it's something that has marked me for life. It's piddly because we're talking about maybe a $2 item, monetarily wise. It was years ago. I was a young boy. I'm guessing not much over 11. I was over at one of my aunt's houses. And, like boys will do, I was horsing around in the house, being a little rambunctious with my cousins. And we were warned different times, be careful, you're going to knock stuff over, you're going to break something. You know, I've heard that many times before, you know, and all we're being careful and trying to be good boys, you know. Well, we've been warned several times. And sure enough, it happened. And it happened to be me. I kicked one of these lamps, and this lamp actually had a little shelf around it or something. And there was this little ceramic cup sitting on it. And I remember the color. It was green. Little green ceramic cup. And was sitting there, and I knocked it off and just busted it to pieces. And, of course, my aunt was in the room there. She heard it. I'm like, oh, no. But I want to tell you how this story ended up. She had all rights to, number one, make me clean it up. That was the obvious. Number two, give me a little lecture again about not being careful. Number three, make me buy her another one. But you know what happened? She just went over there. She just kind of smiled, cleaned it up, went on her way. Didn't say a word, didn't. And I'm just kind of standing there the whole time, kind of in shock and amazement, thinking, oh my, I deserve much worse than that. And she even cleaned it up for me. But you know, that's just a piddly little thing. But you know, later, of course, we talked about it. I mean, years later, I was older. But there was something that at that time, she knew that I was going through a difficult time. I just lost my father. And so what she was doing basically was exercising some of the fruits of the Spirit and put it in action with goodness. Was long-suffering, full of love, and had a peace about it, and went about it in a gentle way and just cleaned it up. It wasn't that big a deal. She had several more in the cabinet. I hope so. And let it go at that. But that's one little act of goodness. And do you realize what one little act like that can do for someone else? Because that can encourage and inspire someone else. Wow, I didn't deserve that. So guess what? It makes you want to go do that to someone else. And you could say, well, that's the chain of love. Well, yes, that's true. And we've talked about that before. But you know what that is? That was God. It wasn't anything. She wasn't tooting her horn or to get the glory for it or, you know, was going to tell anybody else about it. And I certainly wasn't going to tell anybody else about it until about 25 years later. But it's something that has marked me. And it's something that, yes, there are times when someone else deserves a little tongue lashing, so to speak, or to kind of be set straight or to say, well, you owe or you need to, you know, and it's like, well, I've had somebody extend to me the fruit of the Spirit of goodness before when I didn't deserve it. And so maybe I can extend to them to do good and to communicate, to fellowship, to share with them in time of need. Maybe they don't understand, but I'm going to be long-suffering with them anyway. And I'm going to love them anyway just because that's what God wants us to do. And just because that's who God is. That's who Jesus is. Well, let's read on here. It's at 32. It says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. That kind of goes along with what we were saying before, that there's good old boys out there in the world that aren't Christians, that aren't living for God, that really aren't on their way to heaven, but they can forgive, and they can do good things and all that, but they're not saved. They're not washed in the blood. They're not making it to heaven. And he's saying, well, if they can do that, you can do that too. But you can actually go the extra mile to love your enemies. And it goes on here. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you have hoped to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But again, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
How these words have weight. Because you know what? We're going to be judged by these very words. Yes, maybe a couple of weeks from now we'll forget some of these scriptures that we read. But the principle of the thing is still there. And perhaps we have those memories of when someone was merciful to us. And someone extended goodness and kindness and long-suffering to us. And if we don't do the same, God's keeping record. God knows. And one of these days, come the judgment day, he'll have it all right there. And he'll know where we stand. We'll know where we stand. But it goes on here to... Let's read another set of scriptures. Back in Galatians, the sixth chapter. And it goes on here from where we were earlier. Galatians 6 and 9 and 10 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." You know, that's talking about a reward. That's talking about something. Again, I mentioned that God's keeping record and he's going to judge us. Yes, you can take that as a negative side, but you know what? You can take that as a positive side. You can take that if I've been living according to God's word and trying to exercise all the fruits of the Spirit, and I've been washed in the blood, and I make it to the judgment day, and God rolls out our book of life and our names right there, and he's looking through there. You know what? We can rejoice. If we have exercised the fruits of the Spirit, we can rejoice that, well, now maybe I will reap what I've sown before. Yes, maybe all those things, the goodness I've exercised on others and never got a word of thanks from them or never, you know, I was still backstabbed or people still spoke evil of me and I still had all those enemies, but I gave us unto the Lord that in the end we'll have our reward. I heard this story, and it's just told as a story. It's not a... It's just hypothetical thinking here in a sense. It was told of a story of an old man that every Sunday he gave to his church. And he would give a certain amount, whether it was $100 or $200, whatever it was. He was an old man. He was kind of a lonely life and wasn't someone that everyone just really liked to be around. But he was known and he didn't go tooting his horn, but everybody knew he was faithful at giving to the Lord. And every Sunday he'd give $100 or $200, whatever. And over and over, and some would even kind of laugh at it. It was like, well, you give all the time and you don't even know where, you know, what's really happening with all this money. And he's like, oh, I'm not worried. I'm just giving it to the Lord. And the church being involved in missions, of course, had a pastor and had some local outreach there. But the end of the story was this old man died and he continued to give faithfully, and at the judgment day, he's walking through the gates of heaven there, and he's walking along, and here comes this young little boy, and he's running up to him and saying, "Oh, thank you, sir, so and so. Thank you for what you did for that. I actually had some shoes and some clothes to wear back when I was poor, my father didn't have a job, and well, that was through a little local mission that he gave some money to the church, and they gave to that mission, and they put clothes on this boy's back and shoes on his feet." And the story goes on and on about different folks would come up and thanking him in heaven for what he's like. He didn't know. He didn't realize some way overseas in another country, because he'd given to the missions, and here comes these other little boys or this older couple and thanking him for what he did. You know what? That was his reward. Yes, he didn't see it here on this earth. And he didn't see the effects, didn't think he was doing anything. But you know, that's how it is with all of us. And it's not just the money. It's those kind words. Yeah. It's those times that we forgive when we don't feel like forgiving. It's those times that we overlook someone else's faults. Like, well, they probably really didn't mean it. I remember different times Brother Ed has brought this point up about someone that made a statement. I believe it was a minister that he believed that you could get enough grace of God on hand that if someone just came up and punched him in the face, say, "Oh, I forgive them. They're probably just stretching." But you know what that is? That's extending to them not just forgiveness, but that's extending to them goodness. You're actually giving them a gift of forgiveness. You're not hanging that over their head that's something. In other words, you could go around and you could start spreading things about them. You could start speaking evil about them. You could do whatever and try to encourage, "Oh, you need to ignore that person because you know what they did?" You know, sharing whatever you think it's truth, but sharing things that stir up strife. But what that is, if we go about doing good, and it says unto all men, it says, "As we therefore," let's read, finish this scripture, verse 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." That's even those that don't deserve it.
Yes, it is.
But it concludes here, "especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So we have here a two-edged duty, basically. We have a duty to our fellow brethren in the church.
Yes.
Proof of our love of God is that we have love for one another. But it goes beyond that. It's manifesting God's love to the sinful world and willing to do good and to communicate or to fellowship, to share, again, to put legs upon love and kindness and gentleness and say, "I want to do good unto them." Because you know what that's doing, actually? That's allowing an avenue for God to work. And you may be the very tool that God's wanting to use. And this is something, you know, you hear a lot of stories around Christmas time. And it's not Christmas time yet, but they're already playing Christmas music after Thanksgiving. But this is something that the world really promotes. Giving, being good to everyone. And it seems like everyone's in a good mood and they're happy and cheerful and they're going shopping and they're doing all these good things. But here's the sad reality. A lot of those things stop on December 26th, the day after Christmas. And do you think that the fruits of the Spirit, that we only have to live those out about a month or two out of the year? Or just every Sunday, you know, one day a week? Or maybe 2 days a week? No, it's a daily job. It says, "Let us do good unto all men." That means every day of the year, every minute of every hour, every month of every year. It's a challenge. And it's something that, I'll be honest with you, it's easy to forget. It's easy to, you know what it amounts to? It comes down to this, that we become self-centered. We think that, well, we don't say it in those words, and we wouldn't want people to say it about us, but I'm really too good to rub shoulders with that person. Or is it really worth my time or my money? They, you know, and the scriptures preach about, and this is being balanced, that not casting your pearls before swine. And so, Lord, help us to have wisdom that do, as in we're trying to practice this fruit of the Spirit good into our neighbor, our friend, or whoever it is that we don't, you know, someone that we know maybe is an alcoholic and we give them $500 a week. Well, just go do what you want to with it. And we see every week they go buy cases of beer and that's all they buy. Well, that's casting your pearls before swine. But the Lord wants us to, again, be balanced and that we can exercise, again, the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That one temperance helps us balance all those others out a little bit. But here's the challenge, and perhaps this is just for me. Perhaps this message is for me and not anyone else here tonight. Because again, it's easy to look at others and say, they don't deserve it. But you know what? God's had mercy on me so many times when I didn't deserve it. And that little story I told you about breaking that little cup, I didn't deserve that mercy. I didn't deserve that goodness that was extended to me. But they did it anyway. You know, Jesus did the same for you and I. He gave when he didn't have to give. And he went the extra mile just to prove his love for you and I. And just to prove that we are special to him. And so that's what we are doing when we extend goodness and we do good to those around us, whether they've treated us well or not. We're extending to them the hand of God, that where God can reach down, and not only will he bless them, but he can bless us. And you know what this amounts to? I believe as we exercise these fruits of the Spirit, God wants to pour out a little extra upon us. As we exercise and we manifest these fruits of the Spirit, the Lord's saying, oh, I want to pour out some more there. They've used up that, so I'm going to pour a bunch more in there. And, wow, they're really using that, so let's put in some more. You know, I believe God does that. And not only that, it blesses our souls. And we can go to bed at night knowing, Lord, even though I didn't feel like it, even though maybe I didn't want to, Lord, you met me there. You reminded me of who I used to be. You reminded me of the pit that you delivered me out of. And so, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And I believe the Lord is pleased with that. And in the end, he's the one that receives the glory. We don't receive the glory. But what does the scripture say? That I believe it was the young man that came up to Jesus and called him good master. And Jesus' response was, don't call me good. There's none good but God. And so you know what that is? That is giving. Jesus was still, even though he was God in the flesh, was still pointing it back to the author. And see, that's what we have to realize, who the author of good and goodness is God. And you realize that's in the old English, that's really where they believe the word good came from, was from God. Because he is the ultimate source of good, and he's the one that can give us power, strength, to give the good gifts to others. So you pray for me that I would be faithful and I would exercise not just the fruits of goodness, but all the fruits of the Spirit.